the Villa podcast, our opposition preview for Aston Villa v Wolves. Joined again with Dave from Talking Wolves. How are you, mate?
I'm all good, thanks, mate. You can see I'm just recovering from a bit of a black eye from a couple of weeks ago, but not violent related, don't worry. But other than that, mate, I'm all good.
I was going to say, weren't you with that trouble with West Brom, was it, in the corner?
No. A couple of weeks ago when I was playing football, the annoying thing was, it was just before we played Coventry in the FA Cup, and I was meant to go on Sky Sports, and it came out of a massive black eye. And in the end, they said, no, we can't have you on, mate, which I get. But thankfully, I've come out on the other side, and I'm all healthy and happy and healthy, so that's all good.
Yeah, to be fair, I think I'm in Wolves fans' good books at the minute, because we've done our match preview, done our TikToks and that, and I saw praising Wolves and praising Midlands football, really, because it's great now. Look at that table. Two West Midlands teams inside the top 10. It can only be good for Midlands football, because I'm sick and tired of this now, London and the Big Six and all this business. So I think fair play to you. You know, you're having a great season. And I think a lot of you are probably going into it. I know we spoke last time of Lopetegui leaving and what can that do, but you're having a fantastic season. So talk to us, what's it been like?
Yeah, mate, it's been really, really good. Obviously, there's been some highs and there have been some lows, but ultimately, I think we're in a much better place as we speak than what I expected at this time, you know, this time of the year. I think I can't remember when it was. I think I watched back some of the clips that I did right at the start of the season when I was talking about Gary O'Neill and whatever. But I always had confidence that this Wolves squad was strong enough to stay in the Premier League, no doubt about it. But I did think it was going to be a really, really long season. And ultimately, you know, Gary O'Neill has proved me and many other Wolves fans wrong with how well and how united that he's got this football team. You know, we're out of the FA Cup now, which is really frustrating. I think, we definitely should have beaten Coventry, but we just didn't turn up. We've been obviously let down a little bit with injuries. You know, Neto's been out for quite a while. Huang just hasn't been able to stay fit since Christmas. And obviously Cunha's been out injured as well. So arguably three of our best players out injured. So I think Gary O'Neill's been unlucky with that. But ultimately, mate, you know, to be where we are, considering our manager walking out on us a couple of days before the season, not much in terms of, you know, transfer business until very late on. We've done very well, all things considered. And it's a stretch, but, you know, still in the conversation with potentially qualifying for Europe as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're only 3 points behind seventh, so all to play for, really. I know it is quite congested in that area that you are in, so, you know, it would be difficult. And we had it last season. It was like we had to go on a bit of a run to get there, and we eventually did. So as the season's gone on, as your style changed, as he's probably got more confidence with the squad, or are you still sort of playing the same way from when we played you last time?
He probably changed, because we were actually doing okay when we played you last time. So when Gary O'Neill started the season, he started with his back four, and it was just wasn't quite working. Again, we saw the same sort of thing under Bruno Lage when he joined a couple of years ago, where we were playing this really nice, quick attacking football. And for some reason, we just weren't getting the results. And it's happened again. It happened again this year under Gary O'Neill. You know, we had some really good performances, but for whatever reason, just weren't, you know, in the end, we just weren't getting points on the board. And then against City, he switched to a back five. We beat them. I'm not going to say it was comfortable, because I think we had one shot on target and somehow beat him 2-1, because one of the goals was an own goal. But, you know, we beat them. And ever since then, we've not really looked back. So I'm pretty sure the last time we played with this back five. And you know, we've stuck with that, really. It's worked quite well. You know, like I mentioned earlier, with the injuries, we've had to adapt. We've had to play players in certain positions they probably wouldn't normally play in. Our last Premier League game against Fulham, Mario Lemina played as a left winger, and, you know, he was actually really, really decent. So we've had to change into that, but ultimately that's the shape. I think that will be the shape for the remainder of the season. I'll be very interested to see going into next year if it changes, because I think at Wolves, we've always been desperate to try and go back to the back four, but Nuno played with a back five. It was so successful. He changed to a back four and it backfired. Bruno Lage was the same. Lopetegui tried a back five and didn't work. So he's the only man really that's got us half decent results with a back four. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, pretty much 5-2-3 or a 3-4-3 we're playing at the moment. So I'd assume that's how we'll start at Villa on Saturday as well.
And how's the feeling with the fan base towards Gary O'Neill? Villa, we absolutely love Emery. And when you get a good manager and a good feel-good factor, it feeds onto the pitch, doesn't it? And I imagine you guys are going through something similar, really.
Yeah, it in terms of the atmosphere and stuff, it's so much better. It's not like, it's probably not quite the levels that we had under Nuno just yet, but it can certainly get there. I think the atmosphere that we were creating at Molineux, especially sort of when you get a connection with the players and with the staff and the manager, you know, a place can be rocking. And then after COVID, you know, we had Bruno Lage, and I just don't think he really understood the English football culture. Lopetegui started well, but his football sort of sucked the life out of the fans, really. But Gary O'Neill gets it. You know, and I think, like I said earlier, it took a little bit of time for fans to warm to him, but, you know, they definitely are now. And obviously, like you'll have with Emery, you know, O'Neill's been linked with certain jobs or certain positions away from Wolves. So the fact that fans are saying no chance and no, we can't let him leave, I think just shows how much he's, you know, adored here. So, yeah, still a long, long way to go. Things can change very, very quickly in football. But like I said earlier, I think considering what he was given at the start of the season, I think he's done a remarkable job.
Yeah, wasn't there that thing today of him being linked with Man United, but not as the manager, but as a coach or something?
I don't know. Like, I've just very quickly done a video on my channel about it, because I don't, unless Manchester United are trying to go futuristic and do something where they've got like three first team head coaches or something, I don't know. But if I was a manager outside the top four, top six, and actually doing okay on my team, I'd be insulted if a team wanted me just as a coach. And I think Wolves should be insulted by it as well. Look, United are a big team, but nah, unless you're having him as the head coach, there's no chance he leaves for that.
Yeah, I'd be happy if they just take Southgate anyway. So that I think that would be good for
everyone else, really. Yeah, outside of Manchester United. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we've heard about all this PSR with Everton and Forest. How are you looking, sort of going into future spending? Are you okay? Are you gonna, you know, sort of back Gary O'Neill, or is it looking like someone might have to go? Or because you didn't you have to like sell quite a few in the summer to be where you are?
We were in a bit of a mess last year because ultimately, you know, when Lopetegui took us over, we were bottom of the league, and I think Fosun, who are our owners, sort of pressed the panic button and thought, right, we're gonna have to pump a bit of money into Lopetegui to get the squad where we need it to be. And we spent quite a bit of money. You know, we signed Cunha initially on loan with an obligation to buy, which was like 50 million euros. So that went through last summer. You know, signed João Gomes, Lamina. So there's quite a pot of money spent last January. And then it went into the summer. And basically, Wolves were in a position where they needed to sell at least one big player. And it was inevitable that Neves was going to go. We got a little bit more money than what we expected because of the Saudis had come in for him. And then Nunes sort of kicked up a fuss when City got interested. So he went as well. So that then put us in a really decent position where we could sign a few players. And thankfully, Wolves, they changed their sort of regime at the, you know, with the director of football just over 12 months ago. And Matt Hobbs, who's the sporting director now, is very savvy. He's a lot more switched on. And he's got a very good eye on South American football as well. So he managed to get us some good players. And for what we sold Nunes for about 40, 45 million, we brought in four or five very good quality first team players. The sort of start of pre-season last year, the owner basically put out a letter saying, look, we're not in a position to start signing players. And everyone lost their shit because, you know, as football fans, of course, you understand the financial side of things, but you just want to see players come through the door because that's the exciting bit about football transfers, you know, transfer rumours and so on. But Wolves knew last summer, if we step over the mark here, we're in big trouble. And basically, that's what the chairman said. And when you read the letter back, now in hindsight, you think fair play, like he knew what he was on about. And then obviously Everton and Forest kept spending and obviously they're in a bit of trouble now. So the club are adamant still going into this summer. They don't have to sell if they don't want to. But I think ultimately, if we want to buy, we're going to have to sell. So Neto's the most obvious one that, you know, sellable asset at the moment. But because of injuries, I think that's going to hold his value back a little bit. João Gomes, our Brazilian midfielder, again, Wolves think he'll stay. But they've already said we're looking at replacements for him. So I think they know long-term he's not going to be at the club. And he, you know, he's representing Brazil now, so could demand a bit for him. So I don't think it's going to be a bad summer for Wolves, but certainly I think we'll have to see one or two first-teamers go before we start bringing players in.
Yeah, one player that's catching my eye at the minute from you guys is ain't Nouri. He's playing pretty well for you at the minute, isn't he? It's like one of them players that probably hasn't been your best player, but he's slowly performing at a really high level. I don't know why. I mean, you tell us why. Like, how come he's just improved so much?
See, we've had him. We had him. I think it was the year we were in COVID. We'd signed him. We'd been linked with him for ages. A young kid, obviously playing in France at the time, and actually a George Mendes client as well. So we'd signed him initially on loan, and ended up signing him the year later. And he's always been a very talented young player. You can see that on the ball, just unbelievable. His quality, his skill on the ball is fantastic. And then he's sort of been in and out of the team under Bruno Lage and even Lopetegui. Lopetegui didn't like him at all. But under Bruno Lage, he was in and out of the team. There was some rumours that, you know, his punctuality, like he was late, his attitude wasn't always fantastic. And Lopetegui was like adamant that he wanted to let him go last summer. And we were linked with like players like Aaron Cresswell to replace him and things like that. And you think like now, like, shit, if that, you know, if that happened, you know, we would have been in a very strange position. But Gary O'Neill really took to him. And, you know, I think that's shown. He wants to be here now. You know, he's representing Algeria on a regular basis now at international level. There's clips of him from last night. Just a player, just so much confidence right now. A bit of a luxury player because the way he plays is so good to watch. It would surprise me. I think he's another, you know, talk about sellable assets. Not that you want to sell players like that, but I think you could demand a decent fee for him because I think teams like your Cities and your Liverpools could easily be signing players like that and he would fit in perfectly. So really, really good player. Always been quality, but like you said, sort of never shown it on a consistent enough basis. But the last few weeks or so, I mean, if you watch Wolves or the highlights, you know, he's been at the heart of most of our goals, to be honest.
Yeah, it's playing really well. So we'll touch on our game then. So before we get into that though, at Villa, thoughts, do you think we'll qualify for the Champions League?
I know you've quieted down a little bit, really. I mean, if I would quickly get the Prem table up on mine, I think you should still have enough quality to get through. I know your home form was phenomenal up until, you know, the last month or so, and it slowed down a little bit, but I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's definitely between you and Spurs for that last spot. And I think for Villa, they've just got to try and keep their big players fit. And if you can do that, then definitely. But it's going to be tight. I think it could go down to the wire, that last spot, to be honest. But I think, to be honest, the fact that you're in the conversation still is, you know, just shows how well Unai Emery's done. And I still think you've got a chance of potentially, you know, going all the way in the Conference League as well. Which would be, you know, amazing. You talk about, look, you can class Villa and Wolves as a rivalry if you want to, but ultimately, if another team from the West Midlands, like you mentioned earlier, can win a European trophy, that would be, you know, an amazing achievement. So, I think it'll be tight, but, you know, because I'm on your channel, I'll say, yeah, I think you've got enough to get the top four.
Cheers. Otherwise, I won't be coming on yours in a minute. Right, so the game then, Villa at home, going to be a tight one under the lights, night game. Quite exciting, I think, night games are. Talk to us about your team news, because I know Dawson might be back. Cunha, is he back as well?
Yeah, so the players that are definitely out, Hwang is still out, Neto is still out. So obviously they're two big losses for us. Cunha, Gary O'Neill was hoping, may have been back for the FA Cup game, and he wasn't. So he's had another 2 weeks. He's definitely back in training now. So although he may not start, I think he'll be in the squad on Saturday. Dawson, again, he had a little knock. May come back in. We've got the back three for the last couple of games has consisted of Totti Gomez, Max Kilman, and a Spanish guy called Santiago Bueno, who's waited so patiently for his chance, but been, you know, very, very good in there. So it'll be interesting to see if Dawson does come straight back in or not. The main issue for Wolves at the moment is the striker, because without Cunha, really, really struggling. The last two games, we played a young lad called Nathan Fraser, who's been in under 21s, done quite well. Wolves were going to loan him out to like Championship League, or it's going to be League One level, I think, to Shrewsbury. And in the end, kept hold of him and he's played. And you could tell he's not ready. I think, you know, technically, physically, definitely not ready, but he works hard. And that's really, if you're not quite up to it, you just got to make sure you can put 110% in. Against Fulham, he did that. But against Coventry, he really, really struggled. And, you know, we brought on another lad, Leon Chiuomi, who's been playing for the England under-18s. And again, okay, but not going to win you football matches this season, at least. So that's the big issue for Wolves at the moment. And that's going to possibly be the thing that holds us back. So I really don't know how the front three will be against Villa. But, you know, like you said, under lights, always exciting. I think we're 6 unbeaten against you guys. I looked yesterday, it's actually a half decent record. So I'm hoping that, I'm not going to say we're going to walk, you know, go to Villa Park and smash it. I think it'd be a tight game, but we go there with a little bit of confidence anyway.
Were you going to say Villa are due a win?
No, I predicted a 1-1. I think, I was going to say every time we've been to Villa Park, we've done okay, but I went once and I went when you guys smashed us 4-1 in the championship. But I don't know. We always do all right against you guys. I don't know why. We always manage to sneak, even out when we're bad. We grab a point.
It's always just a weird game. I think we've only ever beat you once at Villa Park in the Premier League. Yeah. So I think that's how bad our record is against you. You mentioned your striker. What's happened to that kid with the long hair? Has he just disappeared now? Yeah, what's going on with him? Like,
see, I really like Fabio Silva, but I'm definitely in the minority of Wolves fans. So obviously we'd signed him during lockdown, about 35 million quid, which, you know, extortion amount of money for, you know, but at the time he was one of the big wonder kids, and he got chucked in way sooner than expected because Jimenez got his head injury, really struggled, then went out on loan last year, I think. Was he on that? Yeah, out on loan last year, went to Anderlecht and then PSV and did really well. And then he started for Wolves this season. And again, in terms of getting in the right positions, brilliant. Just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. And I think he's a player that just wants to play football. And when he's not playing football, he's not the greatest person to have in the dressing room. So he's currently out on loan at Rangers in Scotland. But again, I think Wolves will cut their losses on him in the summer. And, you know, talking about players leaving and getting some money in, I think Wolves will sell him. But they're not going to get the 35 million quid back. But ultimately, at this time where you haven't got a striker, someone like him would have been okay to play. And I would have trusted him to lead the line. But unfortunately, he left. And I can't see him wearing a Wolves shirt again, to be honest.
Cool. Good stuff. Right. So we'll end it there then. So you can check out Dave's channel, Talking Wolves. It'll be on the title and in the description to this video. I am doing an opposition preview on their channel. So go and check that out and give that episode some love as well. So cheers for coming on, mate.
Thanks, brother. Thank you very much, mate.